To carry out our parish's mission of inviting all people to encounter Christ and inspiring them to become saints, we all really need to become disciples of the Lord first, ourselves, in order to do that. But what exactly does that mean? What exactly does that mean to be a disciple? What do we mean by that word? Well, discipleship can be summed up really with one biblical key word, and that is imitation. Imitation. Striving to imitate Christ in all aspects of life such that our lives are truly conformed to His completely. A disciple is someone who is striving for greatness, intentionally aiming to root out sins and weaknesses in their life, to grow in virtues and deepen their friendship with the Lord Jesus. And so for the coming few weekends, I'd just like to highlight kind of four main ways to grow in this imitation of Jesus, this imitation of Christ, what we might call discipleship. Four main ways being prayer, fellowship, the sacraments, and the teaching of the apostles. So first, just some words about prayer. If you are too busy to pray, you are too busy. That was St. Mother Teresa's response to people who told her about the overwhelming amount of work that they had in their lives. In 1973, Mother Teresa made a very radical decision about how the sisters of her order, the Missionaries of Charity, would reprioritize their daily busy schedule of serving the poorest of the poor in the world. While her sisters were already committed to prayer in the Mass, the Liturgy of the Hours, the Church's prayer, praying at morning, midday, and in the evening, and various other devotions, Mother Teresa introduced to their schedule back in 1973 what she called the Daily Holy Hour. The Daily Holy Hour. 1 hour of prayer in Eucharistic adoration, modeled after Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, from a worldly or a very practical perspective, this move really seems kind of counterintuitive. With such a great need for caring for the poorest of the poor, why spend an extra hour in prayer each day? But Mother Teresa testified that this extra hour of prayer, this quote-unquote wasted time with Jesus, brought about a great change in the work of her order. It made the work of she and her sisters, did not about their own, not so much about their own talent or planning or effort, but it allowed God to work through them in more powerful ways. In effect, it truly put God in charge of everything, and therefore it brought about a greater fruitfulness to their work. We need time. We need time to pray each day if we want to grow, if we want to grow spiritually. But what exactly is prayer? Prayer is not, a complicated formula or a series of rigid steps. It is our very relationship with God. We are reminded of our identity as children of God, of a good Father in heaven, and that all we do, our work, our relationships, our responsibilities, is enriched by the Holy Spirit. Prayer is not about what we do so much as it is something that God does, that God initiates as He puts the desire for Him in our hearts. Taking the leap to start a daily prayer life can be kind of intimidating, so I'd just like to propose for you three simple principles to kind of guide us or to help us get started. They are being consistent, being quiet, and being simple. consistent, quiet, and simple. So first, we must be consistent. Most great things in life all come about through a routine and constant and consistent effort. Think about any athlete training for a competition or any other unique skill that each of us has developed throughout our lives. They all come through repeated practice. It's very similar with prayer. To begin, simply make sure you have a consistent prayer time and routine each day. Even if you can start to pray for only a few minutes or 10 minutes, find a way to do it every day so that you can build up that habit. And through that habit, build up your relationship with God. Your consistency will be tested. It will be tested by busy schedules, by competing priorities, and even feelings of boredom or frustration. And in these circumstances, you will need perseverance to continue in the daily life of relationship with God. So the first thing, again, is being consistent. The second, we need to quiet our hearts. We need quiet in our hearts. When we talk to friends, we want to have their full attention, right? Well, the same is true in the great conversation of prayer. God wants to hear what is on our hearts, our hopes, our dreams, our fears, our hurts, our needs. He wants to speak to us through the scriptures, the words of the saints or of devotional books. But we won't be able to speak or to listen if we don't have silence. Find a quiet place, you know, your room, chapel, the outdoors, where you're less likely to be distracted. Put down or turn off your phone so you don't get all those annoying notifications to distract you. Third, we need a plan for prayer that is simple. The third is simplicity. After you quiet yourself and recognize God's presence, take some time to read, perhaps just a few verses from the scriptures, a few lines from a saint, maybe passages from a devotional book like In Conversation with God or The Imitation of Christ. Those are all great sources. Or meditations, you know, found in publications like the Magnificat. Then have a simple conversation with God. Simple conversation with God about what's going on in the passage and how it's speaking to you. Pay attention to what stands out to you or what seems to apply to your life right now. Again, simple. One simple and powerful way you can begin to pray is with what is called Lectio Divina, or what means divine reading. John Shackle, you know, has done a bit of this in his Bible studies with people. It consists of reading a short passage of the scriptures that you are drawn to, meditating or reflecting on that passage, praying on it by just asking the Lord what he desires to show you about your own life, and then just contemplating or resting in God's presence in whatever graces or insights or encouragements or challenges that you receive. Our readings this Sunday, they certainly point us to the importance of prayer in this discipleship, this imitation of Christ. Our first reading from Genesis and our gospel passage from St. Mark, they both speak about marriage. Marriage between man and woman as being part of God's design, and that the marriage bond is intended to be something that's indissoluble. What Christ says about marriage is definitely a hard teaching, especially what he says about divorce and adultery. And while this could certainly be an occasion to speak about what the church teaches about, say, for instance, the annulment process, or what is more appropriately called the declaration of nullity, and how this process is still in keeping with Christ's teaching about the indissolubility of marriage, I'm going to leave that topic for another day. Christ's teaching on marriage is hard because marriage is hard. Any vocation in which we are called to a permanent life commitment is hard. Vocations such as marriage, or priesthood for that matter, are particular ways in which we might be called to live out our discipleship, our imitation of Christ. Living out a vocation like marriage successfully and fruitfully would not be possible without a regular life of prayer. Prayer individually, as a couple, as a family. Secondly, our gospel also mentions how people brought children to Jesus. And instead of dismissing them, Jesus points out how children model something important for us regarding our discipleship to him. He says, "Whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it." To be a disciple requires openness, docility, and trust. An openness and trust like a child would have for their parent, for instance. A regular life of prayer helps us to become more childlike because before God, and therefore it helps us to become a more faithful disciple of Christ. Mother Teresa's holy hour was nothing other than a childlike surrender of her and her sister's busy schedule to God. God the Father's providential care for them. Set a goal and plan how to incorporate some time of daily prayer into your life. Start simple, and choose something attainable that you can do each day. And so next week we'll say something about the next part of discipleship, fellowship.